welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church Enugu.
Praise the Lord. We will not allow one somebody to say her name is Victory. My name is Victory too. If you agree with me, shout hallelujah. My name is Victory. Victory over death. Victory over sickness. Victory over weakness of the spirit. Victory over guilty conscience. Victory everywhere. My name is Victory. So when I say victory, please don't know. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. God bless you. Our Father, we thank you very much for this morning. We thank you for the prophetic song that you have put into our hearts this morning. Lord, we pray that this song will never end. As we reflect on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, as we continue to gaze upon the Son of Man, this song will continue to resound in our hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word to us this morning. We pray for insight. Yes, we pray for understanding. We pray for liberation. We pray for healing. We pray for sound mind. We pray that by the entrance of this world, every confusion, every oppression, every depression will be taken away from our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Let's sit down as victorious people we are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Wow. This morning, we are going to look at the topic that says, your conscience speaks. The heading has not finished. Your conscience speaks. Train it. Hallelujah. I know up until now, some of us don't know that we can train our conscience. We just feel that it is there to guide us. The conscience is there to guide you into morality. But we are not people that are self-righteous. We are people that have been helped of the Lord. So we need, once you step into Christ, you need to train your conscience. Praise the Lord. So what is the conscience? All of us, I know you would have used the word one time or the other. Guy, my conscience, they trouble me. You know, when bad people want to go and do something bad, and then maybe one of them is developing cold feet, they say, why are you growing a conscience? Is it not? Why are you growing a conscience? And while we're yet sinners, we felt that the conscience is the best thing we have, is it not? Yes. We feel that the conscience is the best thing until Jesus Christ said, I will yet send you what? The comforter, the helper. Is superior to the conscience. Hallelujah. All right, but we're going to see if we can take it step by step and try to understand it. And then we'll now look at how we can train it. Amen? So let's go. Let's follow. Let's take it gradually. If I don't spend 1 hour, please just enjoy. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I learned from John MacArthur. Do you know John MacArthur? He's a popular American preacher who is fearless. Talks to the government. He talks to anybody he wants to talk to. He's not afraid. You know, we have other people like him too, but he has been the most popular one recently. And he said that the conscience is a built-in warning system that signals us when something we have done is wrong. The conscience is to our souls what pain sensors are to our bodies. It inflicts distress in the form of guilt whenever we violate what our heart tells us is right. Praise the Lord. Every time you do something and that thing is wrong, you begin to have what we call guilty conscience. Praise the Lord. But that is not the level that God wants you to operate at. Okay? It's not the level of guilty conscience. Because there's a lot of disadvantage to living a life under guilty conscience. Praise the Lord. So our conscience is part of the God-given internal faculties. A critical inner awareness that bears witness to the norms and values we recognize when determining right or wrong. Now, this is how the conscience is. Some people may say it's the voice of your spirit, right? Mm-hmm. Not the voice of the Holy Spirit too. Even though the Holy Spirit can speak to the conscience sometimes. Do you understand? Now, your conscience is the voice of your spirit man. Which, that guilty conscience, the ability of the conscience to condemn you was activated on the day they ate the forbidden fruit. If not, there was nothing like guilty conscience or condemnation. Okay? Yes, it was activated when man fell. If not, the only thing, if man had not fallen, the only thing we would have had was just challenge. Eh? You know the kind of challenge that Paul said, outdo each other in showing what? Love. That is what would have done. Would have been challenging ourselves. Ah, you show love to this level today. Tomorrow, I'll pass you. Do you understand? But as soon as man fell, the guilty conscience or the condemnation we feel is part of the death that God said would come into man if man disobeyed God. Do you understand? So and one part of the journey we are making in Christ Jesus is to live a life that is above what? Guilty conscience. Do you understand? So that is why Paul keeps encouraging us that if you live by the flesh, you will keep what he's saying in NSA, that you keep having what? Guilty conscience. But if you live what? By the Spirit, you will be treading above what? Guilty conscience. And that is where I want to take us to this morning by the grace of God. The Spirit of God is going to do a quick walk. Because some Christians, though they claim to be Christians, they have been living in guilty conscience all their lives. They are not victorious. Their name is not victory yet. Victory are in trouble. Praise the Lord. Their name is not victory. They are not enjoying the Christian race. Sometimes they have come to the brink of backsliding. They say, this Christianity, massive. They didn't know they walk. Up today, down tomorrow. Up today, down tomorrow. But he looks at his neighbor, the man is flying. He's singing every time. He's enjoying. His business is moving. Things are happening around him. And he looks as if he doesn't have anything he has to confess to God or to ask God for forgiveness for. Why is it like that? So a lot of Christians are held down by this thing called conscience, guilty conscience. But today we are receiving our liberation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Like I said, a lot of times when I'm asked to speak here, I end up enjoying more than all of you. So let me just see how I'll be able to give you some of the things that entered into me while I was considering this topic. Let's see if I can give you I'm not sure I can give you everything. One, the time is short, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. But let's see how we can grab some things. All right. Let's open to Romans chapter 2, verse 15. Romans
Romans 2, verse 15. It says, okay, NIV. They show, okay, let's give it some context. Context. Hallelujah. So all who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law. I'm reading from verse 12. Will perish apart from the law. And all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Can you see? So the fact that you know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation does not guarantee that you are righteous in God's sight. It is those who what? Obey the law. Praise the Lord. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves. So even though they do not have the law, they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them, and at other times even defending them. Praise the Lord. So you see it. Can you get the context now? So it is the conscience is made up of what you know. Do you understand? The conscience is what? It's made up of what you know. If you are born into, maybe you are born in a place where they don't see fornication as something wrong, you will grow up fornicating and you don't have guilty conscience. The reason why we have guilty conscience is because we know, they told us as we are growing up, if you touch a man, you go get belly. Is that not? See, as a man, you have to stay away from women. Was it David that told Solomon? Women, they drain strength too. Praise the Lord. And the moment you know it, once it has to do with a matter of morality, the conscience takes hold of it. And it's there, waiting to use it to condemn you. Praise the Lord. You see why we have to know the word of God. You see why we have to know what Jesus did for us. So that we'll not be held bound by the power of the conscience. And that is the first step to training your conscience. The knowledge of the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. Do you understand? The death of Christ is a big thing, though. It did not just save us from sin and its consequences. No. The death of Christ did a lot of things for us. One of them is it takes us away from the fear of death. It's part of it. It's there in the scriptures. Another one is that it helps us not to be under the power of guilty conscience, which is a form of death in itself. I'll show us very soon. Praise the Lord. So sometimes, because they did not know the law, by way of the conscience, they found out that some things were right, is it not? And by sometimes, the conscience condemns them. Praise the Lord. Those who live without the law, they shall be judged without the law. And those who live by the law, they shall be judged by the law. But ignorance of the law in our time when you are supposed to know does not excuse you from judgment. So if you know and you are a Christian, what Christ has done for you, and you don't go and look for everything, if you do what is right, it will be held against you. So it is our responsibility to search out the law of God. Now,
The law, as we are talking about now, is not the law of sin and death. Eh? It is now the law of what? Of life in Christ Jesus. Okay? Now, a sinner will see the law of God. Eh? And what he sees is death. Do you understand? But for us, when we see it, we see life. We see God trying to deliver us from death. Do you understand? We see God giving us life. That's why David can say, God, your law, they are sweeter than honey. You see, teach me thy precepts, O Lord, that what? I may live. So when a man of faith sees the word of God, even if it is a law that Moses wrote, he sees life. He sees God delivering him from life. A lot of times we have made choices in life. I don't know. Is there somebody here who maybe you say, today I must pray. I must pray. I've been dreaming since morning in the evening when the children have gone to sleep. 8 o'clock. I will kneel down and I will pray for 3 hours. And then you come and kneel down. How is that? As you just say, Father, you just remember a sin you committed 15 years ago. No. It just start playing through your mind like a video. And then your mouth goes shut. And then heaviness comes into your heart. And then that prayer ends there. Is it only me that I've experienced in this life? So it's only me? No problem. Praise the Lord. That is what is called guilty conscience. Even though you have asked God for forgiveness that time, Satan comes because you don't know. Do you understand? Because you don't know that you have been forgiven. And how do you take hold? You know, it is one thing for God to give forgiveness. It's another thing to receive it. Forgiveness is always flowing from God. It is called the mercy of God. Do you understand? It's always flowing. It is now left for you to take it by what? By faith. I'm already jumping ahead of myself. So let me calm down. A person who does not know that he has been forgiven will continue to live perpetually under what? Guilty conscience. It is the inner response of your heart when you go against what you have been what inculcated with or what you have been taught to be right. So a man can be righteous, but he's not godly. Have you not seen morally sound people? They know they follow women, they know they smoke, they know they drink. Eh? They are sound. They are time conscious. After lectures, they go to their hostel, they cook their food, they take their siesta, they read their book, they go to lecture. They don't even go to parties. They don't go to nightclubs. Sound people. But when you mention the name of Jesus to us near them, it's fight. They'll tell you that without Jesus, I can walk righteously. That is what happens. You can be brought up from a sound background. Yes, now. If your father, your mother may not be a Christian, but you can be sound in terms of morality. And your conscience, you'll be doing everything right, your conscience will not blame you. It is called self-righteousness. That one does not get you into the presence of God. That one does not get you into the presence of God. People like that, when they do one mistake, they commit suicide. Some people die from guilty conscience, self-righteousness. They have been doing this thing. They have been consistent with it over it, but because they are not doing it with the power of Jesus, with the help of the Holy Spirit, when the conscience comes against them like this, they'll go and die. Yeah. Ah. Me? They will not say I impregnated that girl. That's why some of them run. They run to somewhere and start life afresh. Because they don't want to be known as a bad person where they grew up. Praise the Lord. I don't know. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There's sometimes you don't feel like, man, let me not disappear from here. and go and start all over again, thinking that you can do it by your strength. We are not living to go to heaven, no. We are not living righteously so that we can go to heaven.
You are looking at me. I look at you back.
Heaven is a gift. You don't have to work for it. The day you said, "Lord Jesus," with tears in your eyes, you come to the mercy of Christ. That day, heaven was given to you. That is it. That day, God called you righteous. That day, God called you holy. And that is the power that ultimately trains the conscience. It is called positional righteousness. I mean, God, because of what Christ has done, took you from darkness. Did you read it in your Bible? He said, even when we were yet sinners, God, by his mercy, he said, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy." Took you from darkness and put you into marvelous light. Now, I ask the question, what would you have done that would have pleased God so much that the Almighty God would have come from heaven and taken you from darkness and put you into light? A lot of us don't understand what happens there. It means, now that you are in the light, you have the power to say no to ungodly suggestions that comes from your mind. You are not getting me. Before, when you were in darkness, anything your mind suggests, you are like somebody that they are pushing from behind. Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. But now when it comes up, you see that girl, look at me again. Say, "I rebuke you, Satan." You have that power now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somehow, I've lost myself. But let me... So, we agree that a man can be morally sound, right? And that morality is called self-righteousness. But the one that is given to you by God, the righteousness that God confers upon you, you know, conferment, you know, what is conferment? You know what, when they want to give chieftaincy title, you move from an ordinary man to becoming a chief, or how do you call it? Ichie, or Ubi, or Igwe. Do you understand? The moment the coronation is done, that was what happened on the cross of Calvary. The death of Christ was our coronation. Because he has said from the times of the laws and the prophets, "I will build for myself a nation of" what? Of priests. Not just ordinary priests, royal. So, as Christ is dying, the Lord is adopting us for himself. If he is king, then we are kings also. That is why Jesus is called the King of what? I am telling you how to deal with your conscience. Your conscience is not supposed to run your life. You are supposed to what? Control your conscience. If not, if you leave the conscience, it will run you into hell. Yeah. And that is what Satan seeks to do. He keeps you in guilty conscience perpetually every day of your life, every day of your life. When we are at the other side, those who know, you know. On Saturday, you run. You can't, you know. This is my 100th confession this year. This is the scene, no? You just see it. And then they'll now say, "Okay, go and clear grass." Or they'll say 100 in one prayer like that. And then it's on. That person, if he continues like that, and he does not come to the realization of what Christ has done, that person will end up in hellfire. That's true. The guilty conscience every day. The guilty conscience will present you guilty before God. We are called unto righteousness. So how do you train your conscience? Oh, Lord. Now, let's add some of the, let me give us some of the things that help us to, that shapes our consciences. One of them is upbringing. The way your, what your father taught you. Do you understand? In my village, we don't do like this. We don't do like this. We do like this. It forms part of your. So any day you go, again, I've seen deeper life member. Come to my village to do burial of somebody who had died 5 years ago. You don't get it. The person has been put in the ground. You know, why I mentioned that church is because that is when we want to talk about holiness. Before you know, our mind goes there, is it not? I've seen a lot of them come to the village and do burial for someone who has been buried. Hey, Sunera. Oh, it's not burial. What has the living got to do with the dead? Why are you funeraling? Why? No, why are you doing funeral? And the reason why they are doing it is so they can have clear conscience. Because that is how they were brought up. So even though they are in Christ now, they have not mastered their guilty conscience. They have not mastered their conscience. Let me not put guilty now. Do you understand? The guilt in the conscience is still directing those kind of dark works. Do you understand? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know. Am I getting to somebody today? Uh-huh. So another way is the culture. For those who do not know that when you step into Christ, you have stepped into another culture. They keep observing the other culture that was born out of idolatry. Some of us here now, last year, we went for New Year Festival. Is it not? We went for... Did you not go? Some of us, say masquerade. Masquerade just came out in the village. Did we not go to dance to? Culture. You don't know that when you step into Christ, you are automatically in a new world, in a new kingdom that have their culture too. I keep coming to that culture matter. Until you make the word of God your culture, you keep slipping back because you want to identify with your people. Have you not heard when Christ said, do you think I've brought peace to this world? By the fact that you said, the world behind me, the cross before me, oh, take the whole world and give me that, you know, that song. They didn't finish it now. They didn't know these other two stanzas. That's the song we used to sing those days. They only know I have decided. That's the first stanza. After you sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. Then you go and say, the cross before me, the world behind me. That's the second stanza. Then the third stanza is, oh, take the whole world and give me Jesus. You see? We have stayed in this business. Hallelujah. So what am I saying? When you start following Jesus, automatic enmity ensues. Those who used to like you before, all of a sudden, they don't like you anymore. And you are not supposed to fight for their likeness. You are not. Even if you are feeling guilty, you are not supposed to go back to them. No vex. Don't do that. If it is only you standing for Christ in your village, stand. You better stand. During my father's burial, I was like a stranger in my village. But they also say, this one, you know, go do what you want to. When my auntie told me, when they put her for ground, burial never finish. I told her, when they put her for ground, burial don't finish. She put hand on the head. Hey, this boy has disgraced us. I just told her, they are expecting me that when they put him for ground, I have to go and gather money and come and do the real. After he was buried, on Sunday after service, I enter my moto. So, no, I have to tell them that my culture has changed. I had to. I was, or is, which of English? Okay, where? I am the firstborn of my father. He's dead now, so that's why I was wondering which one. He still is, ma. Uh-huh. So normally, when you as the firstborn, you're supposed to lead the burial, and your wife also. Your wife is supposed to lead the women in the morning. You don't understand. The women of my family, my father's family is very large. They will come and sit down. They will move all the chairs from the parlor of my father's house, and all of them will sit down on the floor because they are mourning. They will stay like that. Those that are closest to the family will stay for 14 days. The immediate family, we're supposed to stay for like 3 months. Three months is even more than that. This used to be 1 year or so for my father's wife. Do you understand? And we, the siblings, and the children. I'm telling you what Christ has done. So my wife is supposed to lead the women that will stretch their leg on the ground. Every morning they will cry. As long as you are laughing. You should be saying, thank you, Jesus. You should be saying, thank you, Jesus. So I left my wife in Enugu. I delivered, I said, stay. I went to the village. So on the day of the burial, my wife came with my colleagues from the office. Eh? Do you know what I did? I took my wife. I went to the women there. I said, all of them, this is my wife. She's not joining you. I gave them money for cola just to appease them. Tell my wife, come, let's go. She's supposed to stay there. If eyes for the kill person, I don't know how to put that one for English. If sights could kill somebody, the eye wouldn't look me that day. In fact, before I even come over there, I would have become crippled. Now, I just showed them my wife. See her. Yeah, let's go. She didn't sit down with them 1 minute. Oh, yeah, go. My wife brought food from Enugu here, shared for my colleagues, and then they are eating. The burial took place. Everything happened. And then my colleagues wanted to come back to Enugu. I said, oh, yeah, follow them. Yes. I have to show them that I have a different culture. I'm not subject to their law of sin and death. They say, come, come family meeting. No. If you don't come, what if it happened like this? What if it happened like this? Praise the Lord. So we are not permitted as children of God to have guilty conscience because we are trying to obey the law of sin and death. We have liberation in Christ Jesus. Shall I stay after him? Thank you. So you see, culture, personal experiences. Some people have been traumatized. Personal experiences. So and their conscience are taking hold of it. Some of you, if you see, they say if striped animals was what killed your father, there's one small rat that has stripes too. Say if you see them, you go there also. That should not be part of what should define your life. Your bad experiences are not what should define your life. When it happens, say, all things work together for my good. That is what you should say. That is how to train then spiritual beliefs. I've touched a part of it. All this belief system that don't have their root from the word of God. So you have to be careful. That is why the Bible says, when you come into the house of the Lord, come and learn. So coming to sit down to hear the word of God is the process of learning. Eh? And Satan and your flesh, they don't like it. Because they are the champion of guilty conscience. Your flesh. This flesh that you are pampering. If you are not careful with pampering it, it will take you to hell. So that's why sometimes Paul said, I put my body. I put it under. I make it to obey me. Not me obeying it. So you now start spending salaries you don't have. Your salary is 24 naira. At the end of the month, you are owing 150 naira. It's because you are obeying your flesh. It's not good. Praise the Lord. So the upright man, the morally upright man, is a self-righteous person. And that is not what we are called to. Eh? We are called to be seated. High. The Bible used the word high. I don't know why. It means the position of God is always high. Anywhere God comes is always high. Eh? When he was a cloud of fire by night, he was high. When it was fire, a pillar of fire by night, it was high. When it was cloud by day, it was still high. When he wanted to give the Ten Commandments to Moses, it was high. Everything about God is what? High. And the Bible said that we are seated high. Above what? Those who have the capacity to keep us in guilty conscience. And the scripture has said, he called their name was wickedness in high places, spiritual rulers and those. And those. Me, I want to add to that list. Even the flesh. Yes. You're supposed to sit high above your flesh. Your flesh cannot dictate what you should do. That is why Christ died for you. So he can tell the flesh, no. Some of us, when we see food, food, as if we are calling our second name. But a man who has, who is seated high above his flesh, he said, no. Man shall not live by bread alone. When that temptation came to Jesus Christ, the Bible says he was hungry. Was he not hungry? Paul said, sometimes we go days without food. So when it happens, he tells the flesh, man does not live by bread alone. If not, if you see food offered to idols, you will sit down and eat. You will chow. So I add to that list, what? The flesh. You walk above the flesh. Walk above it because it's your enemy. The fleshly desires, carnality, it's your enemy. You cannot see any design pass successfully. The design is passing, you know? You want to say, how? No. Every time you don't come to church because you don't have a new design. What is that? It's flesh. It's called carnality.
I don't know why I am.
So a man who is morally sound does not have justification with God. He doesn't. Because the Bible calls his righteousness filthy, filthy rag. So upon say he's sound, I give us a description of a righteous guy, right? A morally upright guy. He doesn't smoke, he doesn't steal, he doesn't womanize his. When you see him, you like him. You say, guy, you know, guy, clean guy. When he dresses smart. Do you understand? He doesn't speak vulgar words. But a boy who is a Christian, the worst Christian, is righteous in the eyes of God than that guy. There are people that are, we call them little small Christians. They are still growing. They just gave their life to Christ. They are still doing some orukuruku here and there. Do you understand? When they put that kind of a person and they put this upright guy, when the father say, don't steal, don't follow woman, don't gossip, don't do this one. If they put two of them before God, that guy is always already on his way to heaven. Why? I'll tell us. So the self-righteous guy does not have any justification with God. That is the reason why Adam went to hide. Guilty conscience had set in. Before, when God comes, Adam is bold. Ah, my Lord, how come? After, what are we doing today? Okay, today I want to teach you how to mine iron from the ground. Do you understand? But Adam had the sound of his walking in the garden. Also, the guy went to hide. Guilty conscience. That is what chases the wicked man up and down. And that is a very tiring lifestyle. The Bible says that the wicked run it. When no man is, what is pursuing him? Guilty conscience. Guilty conscience. What is pursuing the wicked man? It's guilty conscience. No. I just tire. I walked where we were yesterday. It's guilty conscience. So the righteous man with God is not a man guided just by his conscience, but a man whose conscience has been what? Trained by the holy word of God. A man who has been what? His conscience has been what? Trained by the holy word of God. No, this training we're talking about, it's not like, okay, you go and buy a Rottweiler and start telling, okay, sit. It's like that. Do you understand? But it's not physical. Do you understand? You have to train. Your conscience is wild. It does find you guilty of anything. Even when the thing is good, man said, it finds you guilty of it. So you have to train it. You have to train it like you train a wild animal. And it's the conscience, that conscience is more stubborn than even Rottweiler. So acceptance of the word of God means one is subjecting one's conscience to the superiority of the word of God above all else and the acceptance of its leadership. Do you understand? Now, the first step towards training your conscience is to accept the word of God as more superior a guide to you than your conscience. And you take the word of God as your leader instead of your conscience. The first step. Now, we say the code of operation of the conscience is what? Information that has been inculcated, right? Now, so what does that word of God, if you are subjecting the conscience to the leadership of the word of God, it means the word of God begins to rewrite the code that conscience has been working with. Do you understand? I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Yeah. So begin to Because any conscience that is not trained becomes the seat of strongholds.
You understand?
So you have information that holds you bound. So anyhow you prayed for the will of God in marriage, you know there are some places you don't look. The Lord give me a wife. There are some places you cannot take a wife from. It's called stronghold. And even if you end up marrying from there, any small beginning, say, hey, is it because they say that I should not marry from this? Maybe the woman just say, why would you do like this? And say, hey, is it because they say I should not marry from this place? It's like that. But the word of God, when you subject your heart to the word of God, it begins to rewrite. It begins to tell you that, henceforth, know we no man, any man, any woman, according to the flesh, or according to where you come from. You understand? We know everybody that calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus is what? He saved. I'll give you a personal story about my life. I did my NYC in Kaba, 2007/2008 in Kaba. So those who know that axis, the distance from Kaba to Okene, it's about maybe 30 minutes drive. It's up to 30 minutes. It's one straight road like that. So we had a lot of Igbira people walking in Kaba that time. And then we used to hear of what happens. Sometimes when you are driving through Okene, sometimes it's very dangerous. Why? Because they are fighting themselves. So that place is like a war zone. So that there, because of, I mentioned the experience, right? As one of the things that formed those things. I said, me, like, yeah, nothing will connect me with people from that side. I didn't know that the Lord said, "Say you are my servant. I'm waiting for you." All the relationship I went into failed. I was tired. I said, "God, this thing, take him. When you like, give me wife." When I got married, I was over 40 years. So one of my cousins, my niece rather, called me. "Hey, I don't see wife for you." I said, no. You see, I don't see wife for you. They tell me no. She got angry. And then, to cut long story short, I said, "Okay, give me the person number. Guess where my wife is from?" The same place I vowed. The same place. And I wouldn't have exchange half anything in this world. Those people from that place, they are warriors. They are warriors. Man, my wife is so soft. Those people, they cannot allow you to cheat them. Una go kill yourself that day. That's how it is. So that is how God. So because I just submitted myself to God. I said, "Lord, it is just me and you. Let's leave wife matter." After God has finished breaking all the strongholds, He now revealed my wife to me. And to tell you that it is God, everything took 3 months. From the first hello to her. I saw her physically. Today, tomorrow, she said yes. Praise the Lord. When your conscience is trained, it allows God to have full operating power within your life. It allows the blessings of God to come without hindrances. When you have guilty consciences, you are holding, you don't know what you are losing. That is why there's a secret we are going to see today. That is why one of the strengths, like I said, of guilty conscience is self-righteousness. It's the strength of Satan. It's the strength of Satan. But how do we liberate ourselves from this guilty conscience? You know, I mentioned that we have two kind of righteousness, right? The one that made God to accept us as his children. The one that we didn't work for. And God said, today you are my child. It is called positional what? Righteousness. That is the one that makes you the child of God. Do you understand? So before you became righteous, you have been called righteous. Do you get it? So the rest of your life you are living now, you are attaining what? Righteousness. So as you hear the word of God, strongholds are broken. You are liberated from guilty conscience. Have you ever seen a man that has guilty conscience walk by? It's as if he's carrying the whole world on his shoulder. He's sad, gloomy. They know how to draw their face on smileys. You know? Like this, you know. Upside down. He's walking. And he's always by himself because he cannot find help. So he has inferiority complex. I cannot be like this person. Yeah, I try. You still know they walk. Do you understand? They just go to Third Mainland Bridge and jump from there. Guilty conscience is the playground of Satan. Satan will walk you into trouble and then step aside and say, see you. And then he will present you before God and say, this one, that blessing, he cannot take it. He cannot take it. What happened? The other day he said, I cannot marry from so place. And you have stopped the blessing of God. Guilty conscience. So today, you are liberated from guilty conscience in Jesus' name. Now, then the other righteousness is called practical righteousness. That is the one the Bible says you should walk out daily. Do you understand? Walk out your salvation with what? With fear and with trembling. So because you have been called righteous, it now becomes a responsibility upon your life to live a righteous life. Why? Because your new life is called righteousness. Righteousness has become your culture. So if you go away, if you stop being righteous, you are denying yourself. We have identity crisis there. Do you understand? So when you wake up every day, your good morning is righteousness. But the man who has self-righteousness before God, his good morning is a sin. If he kneels down to pray and he has not accepted Christ as his Savior, the Bible calls that prayer an abomination to God. And do you know what abomination attracts? Do you know what it attracts? It's judgment. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, therefore there's now no more condemnation to those who are what? That condemnation is not talking about the final condemnation. No. There's a condemnation that comes, or let me just say it's part of it. Do you understand? It's talking about there's a final condemnation at the great white throne judgment. Do you understand? But before then, you're already feeling condemned every day because of the guilt that is in your conscience. Now, how do you deal with this thing? I've been talking about it since, so let's trash it out. So acceptance of the word of God means one is subjecting one's conscience to the superiority of the word of God above all else and the acceptance of its leadership. So if this submission is total, now if this submission is what? Is total. The codes by which the conscience has been operating on is now rewritten. Do you understand? That code is now rewritten. Every stronghold has been taken away. Or superimposed. A superimposition. Those who did science. By the word of God. So at this point, the voice of the conscience now becomes the voice of the word of God. That was why Jesus Christ said to Peter, he said, Satan came and searched me. And found nothing of his. If Satan comes and finds you and find guilty conscience there, he has a foothold. You get it now? When he comes and see you are sin of 20 years ago, you are still carrying the weight. Satan has a foothold. He has a foothold. He said Satan came. He doesn't have anything of his in me. But for you, I have prayed for you. So that when you have recovered, you strengthen the others. I was talking to Peter. Why? Because they all had issues. They all had issues. Praise the Lord. So this is when you have the ultimate release, rest, and justification with God. When the codes that run your conscience becomes the voice of
of the word of God. Let's see Psalms 103 verse 20. New American Standard. All right. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of what? Of his word. So the word of God has a voice. You know, our topic says, your conscience speaks. You get it now? Your conscience speaks. That's why you say, I've been here. I was saying, is this good? Is it not good? Is it good? That's your conscience. Is it not? That's your conscience. You say, and something in time, you say, make I do this one like this. Oh. But when you are soaked in the word of God, when you have understanding that what makes you righteous before God is not the righteousness of your own. It's not the righteousness that comes because you obeyed your conscience. It's the righteousness you were introduced into when you just took your hand and walked you into it by Jesus Christ. Then you are truly free. Do you understand? That is the victory we have in Christ Jesus. So anytime you kneel down and you want to pray and don't iniquity of 50 years ago comes into your heart, you declare that righteousness. It is not, don't do the mistake of declaring your own righteousness. That is why a lot of people cannot get out of that guilty conscience. No. When you come before God, you are not telling God. You see, that is why it's a problem when teachers tell you that when you come before God, lift up your tithe booklet. You will remain perpetually guilty because you cannot meet up to that standard of righteousness. Yes. When God was trying to tell Job that he was not righteous, how did he say it? He said, where were you when I was laying the foundation of the earth? Okay, how do you attain that kind of righteousness? Were you born the same day with God? But as long as you don't know what God knows, you are not righteous. So how do you attain it? Then you now carry tight booklet, God forbid, button. When you come before God, say, God, I thank you because you are the one that called me righteous. Do you understand? You sent Jesus Christ to pay for my sins. And it's upon that righteousness I have come today. You declared me righteous. You called me holy. I'm not here by virtue of any righteous work I have done by myself. No, I am here because of the righteousness which I have in Christ Jesus. That is the secret that breaks guilty conscience. Because if you don't declare that, or if you don't know it, if it doesn't take root in your heart, you will kneel down 100 times a day. You will not pray any prayer. Or you will confess one sin 200 times. The only thing that breaks you free from guilty conscience is to declare the righteousness that you have in Christ Jesus. You are nothing. You are a bloody sinner. And Christ said, I call you righteous. And anytime you approach God the Father Almighty, that is your standpoint. If you stand any other place apart from that, it's sinking sand. Now, we have broken the power of guilty conscience before God. But it's not that you continue in sin, that grace, that righteousness will continue to speak for you. Paul said, God forbid. Because that righteousness is power. Do you understand? That is what grants you the power before God. So when God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Christ. And that is the righteousness that spurs us unto righteousness. Because you have been called righteous. Hence, that means your life should be righteous. So you cannot be selling something and then be cheating people any longer. Because you are not, by this time, you are not striving to make heaven any longer. You have heaven in your heart. Praise the Lord. I don't know if the Lord has been able to break into somebody's heart this morning. I don't know. Maybe you have been living under the weight of guilty conscience for many, many years. Maybe youthful exuberance make you go play away match somewhere. And you are still carrying that guilt up and down. Maybe when you were young, you committed an abortion. And you are still under the weight of that guilty conscience. I am telling you now that you can approach the Father
on one ground, and that conscience will not be able to hold you back. That ground is the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. If Satan flashes the picture, they'll say, I've been made righteous by Jesus Christ. I am the righteousness of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. You have to know it. You have to own it. It's not just head knowledge. You walk around with that consciousness. You walk around with that consciousness. Nobody should call you a sinner any longer. That's why when I go to some meetings and they say, let's pray, let's confess our sins. No, we are all sinners. I don't say amen to that too. Because we are not all sinners. I am the righteousness of Christ Jesus. If I have done any mistake, I ask my Father, I'm sorry, but it doesn't make me a sinner. Jonathan, look at it now. The fact that your child, you bathed your child just now, and he went and muddled himself up in a puddle and comes back looking dirty. Does that mean that child is not your child? What do? You wash that child up. That is why we have the word of God. And every time we drink the word of God, the Bible says that it's like the washing of the water by the word. It refreshes us, it cleanses us, and gives us more power to overcome that failure. I don't know, am I making sense to somebody today? So don't be held down by your sin of 40 years, by your sin of 80 years ago. Satan knows how to dig up sins. He's a champion at that. And then you come and push it to your face. You now see it. That day you went there, that day nobody was looking and you stole it. It will not look as if it was yesterday. When it happened, and I just tell Satan, I know the ground upon which I stand. That is why you have to call him a liar. Do you understand? And the Bible says he's a liar. Because that thing he's bringing is something that God has forgotten. And he's now making it look as if he's still there. That is professional liarism. There are some people that can paint picture and you will be shocked. You are in somewhere, you are saying this thing is white. Somebody say, no, this is black. And they will convince you that it's black. That is what Satan is. Praise the Lord. Henceforth, you are not subject to guilty conscience. Henceforth, every time you come to the Father, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Any request you will make, any intercession, any petition you lay before God, and any request you lay before him, they are accepted. Not because you have impressed God. You can't even impress him. But because Jesus has impressed him. And Colossians 3:3 said, you are in Christ, you are in God. Praise the Lord. So that is why Jesus Christ said, even your Father in heaven loves you. So all you need is my name. That is why anytime you come to God, don't come by any other name. Don't lift up any type booklet. Too. If you lift up any type booklet, they are telling God that because of this thing, what I don't do, do for me. And that is what God calls self-righteousness. And God does not like self-righteousness. He calls it a filthy... Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So every time we speak the word of God, we are reminding the conscience which code he should operate with. Do you understand? Every time you declare the word of God, you are reminding your conscience, this is the code. This is the code. There's no other code. Do you understand? There's no other code. If you read Jeremiah 23, verse 28. So this is the power that breaks the strongholds. Proverbs 18, 21. And then Mark 11, verse 23. Oh, it's almost time. So, now, this is why learning the word of God is very, very important. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1. So, the danger of untrained conscience. 1, falling by the wayside, backsliding. When the conscience deal with you enough, they will just give up. They just say, this thing is not attainable. It's not attainable. Have you not seen people who are backslided? If you come to preach to them, they can quote the scripture for you from Genesis to Revelation. They know it more than you that is preaching to them. But they are backslided. It is most at times is guilty conscience. Suicide, self-righteousness, hypocrisy, pulling away from fellowship. These are all dangers of guilty consciences. Then advantage of a trained conscience. Number one, freedom. You have freedom to lift up holy hands. Why? Because you have the righteousness of Christ Jesus. You have true assurance of salvation. You are sure that you are on your way to heaven. Some people, if you ask them now, are you sure you are going to heaven? They say, we don't know. On that day, they say it's only God that knows. Me, I am on my way to heaven. Every day I expect heaven. There was one day trouble don't hit me, bass boos. I was tired. I just came out of my room. I look up. I said, Jesus, you don't go come again. But Paul said, we are perplexed, but we do not despair. We are pressed down, but we don't give up. Rather, we look up. The Bible said that when Kasala day like that, when trouble day, say look up. Is it not? Because we are nearer to where we are going than we first believed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Another advantage is the fact that you have rest and you have responsibility. It means you take ownership of your activities, of your actions. Do you understand? You can take an action and not be afraid to stand by it, to defend it. Praise the Lord. And then another very good advantage of it is that you grow in grace. There's no hindrance. There's no hindrance. If you look as if they want to be a hindrance, you remember what Jesus Christ did for us. You enjoy fellowship. No guilty conscience. You enjoy fellowship. And then you have power with God. You can take advantage of the power of God. You can pray for the sick. They start looking. That's when they start looking inward. Hi, man. I insulted somebody yesterday. If I lay this hand, I think it works. It is not by your power. It is by the Spirit of God. Integrity is established. Why? You are aligning yourself every day by the Word of God. You have integrity. You have empathy. You can sympathize with people. Jesus, that's one of the reasons why Christ came in flesh. Praise the Lord. Yes, so that you empathize with us. Praise the Lord. In conclusion, Romans 8 verse 1. I think I put it earlier, right? So therefore, there is no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And who are what? Who are called according to what? Is it? Let me open it before I go and quote something wrong. Romans 8 verse 1. Aha. So therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in what? In Christ Jesus. So your conscience has lost its power in Christ Jesus. Do you understand? You have no ability to feel guilty any longer. When you make a mistake, you quickly confess it. And you don't make sin a culture. You don't make it a habit. That is a man who has clear conscience with God. Praise the Lord. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set the person free from the law of what? Sin and death. Praise the Lord. I pray that the Lord will paint this picture further in our hearts in the name of Jesus. We are liberated from guilty conscience in the name of Jesus. It is the righteousness of Christ Jesus. That is the righteousness upon which we stand before God every day of our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Thank you so much for your liberation. We know that the entrance of this world has set men free in the mighty name of Jesus. We are not permitted to be under any guilty conscience any longer. We are walking in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. May your name be praised, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.